Hey, and welcome to the latest issue of the Three Old Geeks podcast. I am joined once again by my own gang of muses and a very special guest star. First of all, the Ruinator, the Contrarian, the Numbers Guy, and the Keeper of the Inner Sanctum, Keith of Keith's Comics. Keith, how are you?
Oh, I'm so excited today. It's going to be a great day.
That'll make
for a
change.
Not for you guys, but for me.
And of course, the man who's always wrong with the whole of this collection, the Pictures Guy, the Clown Prince of Collecting, and the Dirty Old Geek, Brian Needs One. Brian, how are you?
Just call me Kira.
I thought it was Terpsip.
Terpsichore.
She never. They actually. She never even.
No,
I know. They, I got a whole rabbit hole. I'm going down here.
Oh yeah.
I'm fucking.
Well, Mike, I apologize for this. Once again, we are joined by our super fan, Mike. I invited him back specifically for this episode. And Mike, I will ask you again. Do you know anything about mixing podcasts? Because you could take my job.
Unfortunately, no.
Okay, I'm gonna give you the crash course.
Doesn't seem to be hard.
But then again, neither are we. I am, of course, the long-suffering world's oldest kid sidekick. I am the words guy. My name is Lance, and I remember when two boobs were just a couple of dumb guys.
Hi.
And welcome to another issue.
Still applies.
Brian, do you have any news for us this week?
Yeah, though it was pretty quiet out on the comic book movie front.
Are you kidding me? Black Adam came out.
Oh, Black Adam came out. I completely missed that.
Okay.
Did you see it yet?
Best opening for a Dwayne Johnson movie ever.
Oh, I'm sure.
28-something million or something on Thursday night.
28 million? Mm-hmm. I wonder how it did over the weekend. We'll find out because the weekend's not over.
Theater was only not even half full when I was there.
You saw it.
Yeah.
Okay. Was it good?
It was good. It was better than some of the Marvel ones. Better than Eternals, better than Black Widow.
Better than Eternals.
Black Widow. Better than Thor 4, I'd say. Love and Thunder.
It's better than sitting on a grill.
Better than hammering your testicles to a table with a nail.
To gauge the nail.
Two penny. Let's quick go into the deaths.
Other than this podcast?
Other than this segment. We did have some deaths and some big ones to bring up. If you're a Chicago person, the death of Bruce Sutter.
Yes.
I remember watching him when I was a kid. Loved him.
Until he went to the Cardinals, the bastard.
Oh, well, then he was just nothing but a traitorous bitch.
Exactly.
And if he'd have died then, we wouldn't even mention him on our podcast that we weren't doing at that age. Ever.
Way to smooth that out.
Ted White, the original Jason.
Yes, I saw that online.
Yeah, that was a sad one. And, of course, the big one for us is Robbie Coltrane. Hagrid. Funny English guy. And serious English guy. He could do both.
There's a couple of Bond films.
Yeah. Yeah. Two. Which is a couple.
Starting out
I know
strong.
I'm the numbers guy, yeah, but I figured that out, too. Thank you.
Why are we laughing? You're a sick man.
God help us all. We're all going to hell.
Gas leak.
And on
we
that
are
note.
We are here already?
All right, so for this week's edition of the global phenomena that is the Three Old Geeks top three list, we're going to be joined by Mike, so we're throwing an extra 5 minutes on the timer. Gentlemen, what are your top three things that should have been great, but weren't? And go!
Mike, take it.
Yeah, go ahead, Mike.
You always go first.
I know, I always... Okay, then I'm going to...
This way you can say you stole his ideas. He doesn't have any. Go.
All right, for me, between two, and I'm going to go with my second choice, which was the comic Strange Adventures, the recent one that Tom King wrote. I was so looking forward into reading that comic, and it's just such a trash heap, dumpster fire of a comic. I was so mad at Tom King after reading it.
Enlighten me, which one was Strange Adventures?
So he does, Adam Strange is trying to stop a war between the Krut and Ran, and basically sacrifices his own son, has his son get become a prisoner of the enemy so that he can stop an invasion of Earth. It was just not a good storyline. It was like, what parent is going to sacrifice their own kid or give their kid to an alien army just to save face or to save a planet? Or I don't know. I didn't like it at all. And he just drew it out for 12 issues. It was ridiculous. I hated it.
That's number three.
Wow. Yeah. So. I had some. My other one on there. I think someone might bring it up later, but
you could lance it.
Yeah,
you can lance it.
Well, it's not really related to it.
Well,
but
lancing is related. That's Dr. Richard.
It's just at what level of the list do you put it?
Yes.
Well, the other one was Taskmaster in the Black Widow movie.
Oh yes.
I was so pissed with it because right before, you know, I think the Taskmaster miniseries came out, which I thought was great. I was reading that, kind of discovered the character really for the first time. Was so looking forward into the movie and having that character. I had seen him in some of the Avengers crossovers, and I don't think he was in Spider-Man at one point. And I start getting into the character. It's one of those characters you discover later in your geek career. So, and then to see the what the hell they did with it in the Black Widow movie was just ridiculous. I was so pissed at that too. So
I'm going to agree with you. What I liked about the character, at least in the old comics, was that you didn't know who he was. He was always just this enigma.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I wish they would have left him that way in the movie. It would have been much, much better.
I do like the terminology geek career.
Geek career.
Yeah.
My number three is a movie. I haven't seen this in a while, but I've talked about it before. I've always said it, and that was the movie Solar Babies. That should have been a great movie, and it wasn't. It had a great cast. It was a lot of fun.
Jamie Gertz was in there.
Yes. Jason Patrick, Charles Durning.
That was post-apocalyptic rollerblade stuff?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Xanadu on that, too, then, probably.
Yeah, Xanadu, I think, I don't remember when it came out, but I'm betting that, yeah, fucking Xanadu's fault.
Okay.
Okay.
Breathe. Recent. Thank you, Disney, for taking a character I really liked and I thought was going to be a really cool thing and making it pretty shitty. Moon Knight.
Oh! Yep. Oh,
I agree with that.
Is that your number one?
Are you crossing off?
Crossing that one off.
But you know what? The guy was an expert at clicking the sticks. He was a stick-clicking expert, and how can you put that as something that was great in and of itself?
I wasn't anticipating stick-clicking, so maybe that part was uplifting. But the actual main character and the view...
Was he in it? Was he in it at all?
He was in stick-clicking scene.
He was!
Yeah! See?
Oh, that's right!
He was
I remember
off to the
him.
Side.
Yes.
He was watching the clicking.
He was watching the clicking of the sticks.
So, he didn't seem that impressed with it, so I was kind of disappointed in that, too.
I was impressed with that, because they were clicking sticks.
And the kaiju? Awesome.
Oh, the kaiju fight with the alligator thing. Yeah. Fucking cool.
And I love being able to talk to your other personalities in the mirror.
Oh, that was a good one,
that's,
too.
That's really realistic.
Oh, and then having your personalities fight while you're walking down the hall and have a conversation.
That
was cool, too.
They did a lot of research on this.
They did a ton of fucking
research.
You mean
that's not the way it happens all the time?
Now that I stole your number one.
Not according to psychology.
I had a lance from my number three.
Oh.
And it was both because of their, the curse of, there's a term for it or whatever. But yes, Moon Knight was part of my number three, but also part of my number three. And we're only 1 week removed.
Marvel ruined the fucking Wrecking Crew. That's all I'm going to say.
Did you anticipate they were going to do a good job with it?
No. Yes.
Did you even anticipate they were going to do it? First, let's start there.
They showed a and damn me for buying the buying and drinking the Kool-Aid. They showed the nanosecond of the Wrecking Crew standing there.
Yeah, but they were little skinny guys. I wasn't expecting any of that.
I thought for a nanosecond they might be cool. I had no idea where they were going with the series.
Well, that's not on Marvel. That's on you. You should not have anticipated.
You know what? Here's the. Yeah, there is so
God
much.
God forbid they actually do the character the same
Ryan,
way they do
it
in the comics.
You are a fan of the She-Hulk comic. You said that every other issue or every, 10 issues was a Z-level villain. Yeah. They couldn't have put 10 Z-level or a group of 4 Z-level villains in instead of the fucking Wrecking Crew.
Oh, God, yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, God, yeah. They had some really bad ones in the comic.
They could have put Dr. Bong in or something
yes.
like that.
Oh, there's so many that they could have. And then there were so many that they did put in, like the fucking magic guy that they just dropped. You could have gone 3 episodes with the magic guy. Or had him
re-episode.
Yeah. And the only thing that the showrunner regrets is that Madison wasn't in the finale.
She should have been
in. She should have been in the finale.
She should be the new linchpin between all of the different movies.
She was the fucking assistant. Best part yes. of the entire thing.
Yes.
Do you know how many times I say my name is Brian with a Y, but not where you think?
Why, Brian?
Yes, I do that. Even though that's the Canadian spelling.
All right, Mike. What is your number 2?
I'm gonna Dr. Rich this one.
Oh my
and,
God.
Yeah, I'm gonna. Basically, say the last 2 seasons of The Flash. So obviously,
just 2. Okay, we know The Flash is your favorite.
It's my favorite. Well, I was gonna go with the last 3 seasons, okay. But no, I did. There was parts in the previous one I'd like, but the last 2 have been just so mind-numbingly boring. The CW angst. It's all relationships and. This one likes this one, but won't tell this one. It's the whole secret thing. There's all secrets. They're all superheroes. They all have secrets, and they all
except
have secrets
their
from each other. Except their identities. Yeah. They tell everybody
that. They tell everybody their identities, oh my but God. Everything else is a secret.
Yeah, so if they would just get together and sit around a microphone and talk, they might figure this stuff out. But then I get it the last 21 episodes. So I'm going to say the whole last 2 seasons of The Flash.
Okay. Wow. Which is better than the last 3 seasons of Supergirl.
Yes.
Okay, number 2 for me. And here's where I break from pop culture.
Pop culture.
But I'm going to say it, and that's the tiramisu at Buco di Beppo. I thought that was going to be great. The food was great. The food was great. You get to the tiramisu, which should have been great, right? It's fucking tiramisu.
Tiramisu is so... I literally have made tiramisu myself. It is one of the easiest desserts to make ever.
And they fucked it up. Just swimming in booze. The coffee liqueur.
Yeah.
Swimming in booze. It just was it was nasty. It was fucking nasty. I took 2 bites and said, no, can't do it.
Wow.
Yeah. So done.
Wow.
I'm
sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
Because dessert is the best part of it.
I know. And I love tiramisu.
And that's your out. That's your out of the restaurant. That's the last thing you taste. Oh.
Yeah, no. Couldn't do it. Couldn't eat it.
I seem petty with my little complaints about comic movies and stuff. Again, it's... I don't have any DC complaints. I should probably have some of those.
No Robin complaints? That's hard for me, though.
This one was so horrible. It wasn't hard to do. It would have been a little special effects heavy, but they didn't want to spend the money. They totally ruined... their whole plan of what they were going to do. I'm talking Marvel. I'm talking Inhumans.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
You were setting up the Inhumans to be the X-Men, the bad guys, and then you did such a horrible TV show that no one wants to talk
about.
Wasn't
it originally supposed to be like a feature film?
Yeah, it was supposed to be a feature film, then they got Spider-Man, so they pushed it off and they were making a TV show, which, still Disney, still their money. They could put little money into it, but no, it was horrible.
They cut Medusa's hair.
I know. Yeah. The first thing I thought was, well, they cut Medusa's hair, so... Yeah.
Why did they cut Medusa's hair?
They had a great casted Black Bolt.
Oh, they had a great cast.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was just horrible.
What's his name? Blackagar, the what's his brother's name? The Mad.
Maddox, what's his name?
No,
I can't think of it right now. Wow.
I know exactly who you're talking about.
It's not Max of Zeus.
No. Something the Mad.
It was Something the Mad. But anyway, they had the perfect casting for him. They had great casting for Medusa. Yeah. They had Lockjaw. That was cool. They had great casting for...
First episode. And then
they blew it.
Yeah.
They just blew it.
Lockjaw looked great.
They had a great lead up with S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
They had a season where they just led up to that was great. And then blew it. Then completely dropped the ball. That was so sick.
So, yeah, that was my
should have been great. Should have been.
Should have been. I don't know how.
Should have been.
I was expecting it to be, and it wasn't.
All right. If I were to tell you that this movie, in the female casting, had Scarlett Johansson, Eva Mendes, Sarah Paulson, Stata Katic.
That's my number one.
Jamie King. Oh, and by the way, the bad guy was Samuel L. Jackson. Oh, and by the way, it was the production team that did the original Sin City movie, and it was done in the same style.
Yeah.
Would you just be 100% all in?
Yes.
You would be.
I was.
If I said, hey, this is one of the legendary characters done by top two of the greatest comic artists of all time, you'd say, gee, Lance, let's go see that right now. I'll pay for the tickets.
But wait. Let's also add that they did a book. Between the guy who did the film
and
the guy who created the character. About this character.
Yeah.
And you would think.
The director was best friends with the creator. They were great pals. You'd think he'd want to do, and this was just after Will Eisner passed away, so you think he'd want to do a tribute to this great foundation, this cornerstone of the comic industry, and what do you get? You get the fucking Spirit.
Oh, sorry.
Yes.
Yes, it was horrible.
Horrible.
Ridiculous. I saw it for free and I wanted my money back.
Yeah. You can't show the... However many years the Spirit ran, you never saw the octopus.
Nope. Almost 30 years, yeah.
Nope. All right. Rant over.
Oh, no. You can rant on that forever.
Oh, yeah.
How is that not on the worst movies ever made?
I do not know.
Seriously, how is it not?
How do we not? I don't know. I don't know the rest of the list, so I'm excited.
I'm pretty sure that's not on it. It should be. It should be.
It's not. I don't know.
Well, we'll
Mike,
have some
what is your number one?
So this one goes back a few years, but it still upsets me that they ended it like this. The final episode of Smallville, right? So you have Superman's development for 10...
You can see Darkseid!
10 years... 10 years, Tom Welling is a kid. Building up a kid who built it. Yeah, that's true. For 10 years, he was a kid.
He wore the costume, right?
He didn't wear the costume. That's the whole thing. For 10 years, you can't have the character ultimately show up as Superman on the last episode because I don't understand the reason why he can never be in the costume, but... Because
he didn't want to be typecast. It was all...
Just, he did not want to be Tom ever Welling. In the costume.
So Tom Welling didn't want to be...
And that's... You know what? I'm paying you. Put on the costume. That's it. Do your job. You're an actor. Act.
Well, they
you know,
they,
so...
Didn't they put him in the costume in the last 30 seconds
no,
or
they
something?
CGI'd
no, they CGI'd
it.
They CGI'd it. Because he was so against it, and it's a far shot, so you really don't get to see him.
But Darkseid looked so impressive as a big plume of smoke.
No.
Yes. No. Yes.
That whole...
Oh, they Galactus Darkseid?
Yes. Oh, they Galactus it. They lost him, whatever you want to call it. Yeah. Smog monster. Yeah.
And then they had him be who was the blur? He was the blur for like four seasons.
Yeah.
So just, the whole final episode.
Wasn't the Flash the blur in the first?
No, they called him the blur. And then they had, they actually had Bart Allen do the impulse thing where they had the actor come in.
What I'm saying is, in the Flash series, wasn't he the blur in the first six episodes or whatever?
Yeah, I think they did that in the Flash series. They had Grant Gustin to call him the blur. But no, at first was Tom Welling. Before they couldn't call him Superman.
Yeah.
They called him the blur.
They called him the blur for like four seasons.
Right.
But after the stupidest thing.
You know, okay, Tom Welling's fighting to be in the suit for 10 years for one episode out of 120 episodes he did, right? 200 episodes. Yeah. You can't for one time get your butt into the costume and wear it for the final for the fans?
Yeah.
No, come on.
Yeah.
No, because he'd be typecast.
Yeah. Like he's done so much since then. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you know his big things? It was when he came back as Superman.
He's been typecast. It didn't seem to hurt Christopher Reeve. It didn't seem to hurt Henry Cavill. It doesn't, you know, even Dean Cain's doing stuff now. So I don't think it would hurt his being.
I think it hurt everybody.
I think it hurt George Reeves.
Yeah.
George Reeves was the worst.
But I'm saying Christopher, I mean, he did, Somewhere in Time and some other stuff. So the one.
Remains of the Day was fantastic.
Death Trapped. Yes. He was really good in Death
Trapped. Death Trapped. So there could have been other things he could have done.
But he wasn't hired to be a lead in a lot of stuff.
Brian, what is your number one?
My number one, I think it was easy. I think it's, I can't believe nobody said it yet. And I'm thinking people are going to cross off their number ones, which is this podcast.
Gosh darn it! Yes!
But it will in time.
Be appreciated?
Oh, yeah. We'll be dead. But people cult will classic. Discover it.
We are the Ed Wood of
podcasting. We are the Ed Woods of podcasts, yes.
And I prefer World's Greatest as opposed to Global Phenomenon.
Well, talk but to this Keith, guy. Yeah, I'm Keith had a big problem
it's
with
improperly
World's
labeled.
That's
not a
phenomenon. That doesn't do anything. I mean, just to have it labeled, it's the entertainment and
the
what
marketing.
The
marketing
and the
branding.
Meaning, the branding,
he had a problem with it. We have to just
he
do
was
what he
get
says.
Two of
if
it,
if you did truth
God
in advertising, you'd have to. You'd never have a career in marketing, Keith.
Keith, what is your number one?
My number one was this. No, it was this podcast. No, my actual number one is a huge disappointment to me. And it's recent. It still hurts. You take two really great stories, and you put them together, and you come up with total garbage. You don't even put them together right. Thor: Love and Thunder.
Oh God.
Yep.
You had Jason Aaron's run on Thor, and then doing Jane Foster Thor, and the God Bomb, and these are two great stories.
That they
and,
just
and
blew.
You just after, and you took arguably the best Thor movie was Ragnarok. So you're coming off that with the same director, so you're anticipating this could be good, right? There's nothing. You got same Jane Foster back. You got Christian Bale as Gore, who was great.
You did a good job.
You're looking at this could be the best film ever. And no, it's a complete and utter suck.
You know what it would be like trying to put, let's say, The Death of Superman.
And Dark Knight Returns?
Yeah, Frank Miller's Batman, Dark Knight Returns, together.
Yeah.
Smashing them together.
But I had no faith in them. They didn't have a good movie before. They had an okay movie before. This is arguably coming off the best Thor with the same creative team.
They actually did do Death of Superman and Dark Knight Returns.
What?
They called it Batman versus Superman.
What? No way! You know what? The best thing about that movie was Martha. Anyway, they made Jane Foster so unlikable.
Yeah.
When she's like, "What's it been? 2-3 years? 8 years? 4 days? 7 months? And 6 hours?"
Well,
I was
really? They made Thor in such a
wimp.
Thor. Yeah. Oh. No, I like you best, my hammer. You can move over. Yeah. It's like I was. Really
yeah, that was stupid.
Creepy and stupid. So, what is your number one? I'm really, really excited to hear it.
Well, I had to cross off this podcast, but apparently
this
we're all thinking the
one?
Same way. No, the podcast as a whole.
In general.
Well,
yeah.
that'd be a Dr. Rich.
It's 131 episodes of what?
Why are we doing this?
Uma Thurman, Ralph Fiennes, Sean Connery as the bad guy.
That's a great movie. What are you talking about?
League of Extraordinary Gentlemen?
The Avengers movie from the 90s.
No, that had Thor and Hulk and... I don't know what you're talking about.
This yes. podcast aside, that was the top three! Bad things... No, what it doesn't matter.
It should have been great, but weren't.
Disappointments. We'll go with that.
How about
like this podcast.
Like this exit... whatever.
Yeah, this is the worst ever.
We're done. All right, so we specifically asked Mike back for this particular issue.
I thought we liked Mike.
I'm trying to scare him off so he doesn't ruin his life like I have ruined mine. Anyways.
No. You haven't ruined yours. We've ruined yours.
Yeah.
Don't take credit.
Yes.
Yeah.
But yes, the worst movie this week is number 27 on Tubi's list of worst movies, and Brian is going to make the contra argument on this one. It is 1980s Xanadu, directed by Robert Greenwald, written by Richard Christian Danis and Mark Reed Rubel, and starring Olivia Newton-John, Gene Kelly, and Michael Beck. And yeah, this was a roller disco musical. And that's all I'm going to say about it.
How can that be all you say about it?
Suddenly, the wheels are in motion.
The way I think about this is the same way I was looking at Birds of Prey.
Uh-huh.
Wow, that guy's like Ewan McGregor, but he really sucks. Oh my God, that's Ewan McGregor! God, these guys sound like ELO, but I mean, ELO's not this. Oh my God, it's ELO!
Yes.
With the exception of the opening track, is fantastic. I'm Alive? That's a good one. That one I really liked. But yes, you have the struggling artist Michael Beck, who never got work after this one, despite being in one of the greatest cult movies of all time, The Warriors. This killed his career. Yes,
so
he
have nothing else to do. He'd done the perfect role. He's done.
True.
You've reached your pinnacle as an actor. Exactly. What are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
But yes, he is a struggling artist who
is that what he did? Became an EMT.
Gets visited by Terpsichore, the muse.
Oh.
And he comes across, and the shining light in this trash heap is the fantastic Gene Kelly, who was probably pushing 70s, and as he said in the movie, had twinkled a toe or two and could still do so. But yes, so they open up their own roller disco, and once Michael Beck has been kissed by a muse, she is no longer needed, and she needs to go influence other artists, but they have fallen in love, so he goes into the void, essentially, to bring her back, at least for one night, for the opening of their roller disco Xanadu.
For one moment, or forever, I get them mixed up.
Yeah.
Okay, he didn't say it with such a lisp, but he could have. He could have.
A lispy Zeus?
So, yes, I
freaking Bugs Bunny this mother. I went down all the rabbit holes.
Okay, well, Keith, fill up some airtime here with rabbit holes, because all I can do is stagger and stammer them.
This is a remake of a movie that came out in 1947 starring Rita Hayworth called Down to Earth.
I want to see that.
Which was a sequel to the 1941 Here Comes Mr. Jordan.
Okay, and I want to see that.
Which is
what?
No, you were telling me this on Wednesday. What was?
Yes, which was taken from the play in 1938, Heaven Can Wait, and was remade in the 70s. But with
Warren Beatty.
Yeah, that's a remake of Here Comes Mr. Jordan, which is a prequel to what this is a remake of.
This,
I watch all four movies.
This isn't a remake.
They're available then, because I want to watch it.
This isn't a remake of anything, because when they filmed this, they didn't have a script. So they couldn't make anything. They were making
it up as they went along.
Based
on that, with Terpsichore,
yeah.
Yeah, coming and enlightening some guy. But yeah, Rita Hayworth, she was wonderful in the movie. They should have made. And Down to Earth was also made again in 2001 with Chris Rock, which I didn't watch. But that's more along the lines of the Heaven Can Wait story.
From you saying the names of the other movies and knowing the actors that were in them, they're all of them were still better than this.
Well, yes. I mean, this was supposed to be a roller boogie, as pointed out by the movie guy. And it... you know, it was when
the roller disco episode of Chips was better than this movie.
Never seen.
There was one part of the movie that I liked, and that was the dance between Gene Kelly and Olivia Newton-John.
Yes,
that was the only part of the movie that was watchable that I liked. I like the, yes, Olivia Newton-John Bryant, she was gorgeous in the movie. Everything else outside of that, with the possible exception of her on the roller skates with Gene Kelly again, but, you know, when I did a little bit of research, I found out that for that dance scene, Gene Kelly basically said, everybody else out of the room, he had himself, Olivia Newton-John, he did the choreography. He had a cameraman that he trusted and the lighting guys that he trusted. Everybody else was not allowed in the room. He did everything himself.
He should have done this for the rest of the damn movie.
Right. Yeah. So if they would have let him do it for the whole movie, it probably would have been 100 times better than what it was. But that was the only part of the movie that I actually liked.
Oh, I liked his trying to find the outfit montage. That was fun. But again, it's Gene Kelly.
And I know why Michael Beck didn't get a part after this, because I think this showed he can't act. It's basically he can play the warrior guy, but he didn't get a part after this because it showed he can't act. That's why he didn't get a part.
Wow. Okay, so first I'm going to argue that Michael Beck had a long career in films and TV, stretching up to 2004. And then 2015, he came back and did the Warriors video game. So he worked pretty much straight through.
Well, I didn't say he didn't work.
Oh, he was working. And he did some...
He could do a lot.
He was in Babylon 5.
Yes, he was.
There you go.
Ooh, who was he in Babylon 5?
When they were trying to find out who Sinclair had the whole memory thing with the Minbari, he was one of the interrogators.
Oh, okay. Spider in the Web. Murder, She Wrote. Come on. Angela Lansbury.
Everyone was in Murder, She Wrote.
Yeah,
no
everybody
offense.
Was. He was in
Murder,
a lot.
She Wrote was like Perry Mason for like the 90s.
Right. No, he worked a lot.
Well, I think if with enough practice, anybody can do anything. So eventually he probably got to the point where he could
figure out. Eventually
might
even figure out how to do a podcast, yeah. Mike. So.
We ain't got that kind of time left.
Yeah. No, we don't.
I mean, the roller disco stuff was just dumb. The, you know, when they were doing the band, the 40s band versus the 80s band versus the 40s band, the 40s band I thought was much better, and at least I could watch it. The 80s band was just horrible. I didn't like the music. I just maybe it was just a visual of it.
And they have one of the greatest songs ever.
One of the best.
This wasn't.
Yeah, this wasn't in it.
I know, and they didn't put it in it. One of the greatest songs ever. They're one-hit wonders, and I don't even know that it was a hit. I really don't know, but it's a song I heard off that album and have loved it ever since, and it's on all my playlists. Fucking A. She's a beauty. She's one in a million.
So I thought the
one in a million. This was my thought
when I saw it. I immediately thought of Brian. So, they found this old abandoned theater,
which is now burnt down.
Oh,
sadly,
it was a shame because it was beautiful Art Deco. I love that kind of shit. But they're like imagining like, oh, we could have a bandstand over here, and we could have we'll have a bandstand over here. Oh, but the bandstand will be over here, and they'll be like these totally classy people. And the first girl they show is like in a dress with slits up to her hips in fishnets.
She would never have been allowed. In
polite society.
Yes.
And I'm thinking, the first thing I thought was Brian voice echoing in my head saying she is a
whore.
Thank you. Like, literally the first gal they show is this person.
Yeah. And
she was
I watched
a fantastic
her and
dancer
went,
and stuff
oh,
like
yeah,
that.
She was great. I would love to know who she was. No. Just no. She would not have been allowed in that club. She would not have been allowed to walk the streets in that dress. She would have been stoned. She would, by the women. Oh my God. And then they showed the rock guys, which in the orange jumpsuit, because that's what we, no,
yeah.
Devo.
Devo. Yeah.
Devo.
Yeah.
Devo.
Yeah.
We
yeah.
are Devo. No.
Yeah.
No to the orange jumpsuits. And then everybody else was half naked.
Yeah.
And I knew where it was going to go. Yeah. I knew where it was going to go. It was going to be a mashup. They took a long time getting there.
A little too long.
I thought the far more interesting story would have been the Gene Kelly, Olivia Newton-John, Michael Beck, Olivia Newton-John story.
and intertwining that.
Yes. Yeah.
Because she was obviously his inspiration for his club, and then then she left, and he just never had inspiration again.
So he's playing the clarinet on the beach.
Yeah, so, I mean, he got rich. Yeah. He got, but he gave up.
And did you guys see, the one thing I did see when I was looking up the Wikipedia on this is Gene Kelly's character was from another, that was from a movie he did when he was younger or something like that.
Oh. Yes. Oh. One of his first movies. I mean, I kind of knew something was wrong with the movie when at the beginning they're opening up and I think it was the Michael Beck character is sitting on the beach. And this is in California, and the sun's rising off the ocean, which can't happen unless you're on the East Coast or you run the film backwards. So, I mean, just at that point, I'm like, wait a minute, this is going to not be a good movie.
Yes, Kelly's character, Danny McGuire, previously appeared in the film Cover Girl, which, like Down to Earth, also starred Rita Hayworth.
Wow.
Doing 6 degrees now,
Keith. You have to watch that.
I will say that I was surprised that I didn't think Olivia Newton-John could pull off the big band singing, that 40s singing. She just didn't have the style. Now, keeping in mind that I am just an absolutely huge Olivia Newton-John fan. Huge. I have at times in my life owned all of her albums.
You have mentioned this before. Unfortunately, upon her passing, but...
Yeah, I am still at the point in mourning where I think that it's terrible that they're even playing Australian bands on the radio right now. I think we should have a year of no Men at Work, no Midnight Oil, none of that. I don't want to hear about How Our Beds Are Burning. That's Australian. It should all be shut down. None. We can have Canadian. They can fill the gaps right now, but... I just don't think for a year we should play Australian music.
What about something from New Zealand? It's almost Australia.
It's almost it's Australia light.
Yeah.
But
there goes New Zealand content right there. Okay.
What about a moratorium on her movies? Because I would put this at the top of the list.
I think that they should show them weekly. I absolutely loved seeing her in this. She was captivating.
She was beautiful. Don't get me wrong. She was beautiful. I agree with that.
You got Gene Kelly, who is Gene fucking Kelly. I just don't
care. The only
care.
Movie star in this movie. He was a legitimate movie star.
Yeah. Yes. And it doesn't surprise me that he would choreograph the scene and kick everybody out, including the director and the producers, because that was Gene Kelly. And he made Olivia Newton-John look good because she's not a dancer. I thought that the opening scene, and I was laughing, talking to my wife, you know it's going to be a bad movie when they have to get a stunt dancer in for Olivia Newton-John because they got all of these dancers in, one of which was Sandahl Bergman.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that when I met her. I had a 20-minute conversation with Sandahl Bergman, and we were talking about all kinds of stuff. I wish I would have known
talk
she was
to her
in
about
this.
Frog Comes to Hell. Frog Comes
no,
to Hell.
No, we talked about a lot of what she's doing now. Because she's incredible. She was such a nice person. Such a little 20 minutes I got to sit and talk to her. And we talked about all kinds of shit anyway. But that whole scene, you know, and you could tell that they were going into where they were showing from like the chin down.
Yes.
Yeah. A lot of different things. I thought that that was funny to me. And then I learned about the place burning down because my wife was watching a YouTube video, oddly enough, and went, oh my God, Xanadu, the place burned down. They were on a tour. Michael Beck was probably not the best guy for this.
No, he shouldn't have been anyone.
They were trying for John Travolta, and I mean, God love the guy. He's one of my favorite movies of all time. He was not John Travolta.
No.
Not even close.
No, but you know what? I mean, he was a likable enough character. I thought it was interesting that kind of the theme of this was, in order to be successful, you had to give up art. It happened. Gene Kelly gave up the music to be a club owner. The guy who owned the art studio gave up art to own the studio, and he was telling Michael Beck, "You got to give up this to do this," and then he did, and he was successful. And I thought that that was probably not a good
motivational speech.
Yeah, that was not a good message for the movie, that your muse will take you out of what you love doing and put you somewhere else that you don't love to be successful. But you will be successful and then haunted the rest of your life.
Again, Brian, you have put so much thought into this that you've just melted my brain as far as finding a deeper theme in Xanadu.
I love the movie. I think it's an interesting concept for a muse to fall in love with an artist. I think that would have been...
That goes back to... I mean, that's
no, we fall in love with the muse. Yes. The muse does not fall in love with us.
Yeah.
We fall in love with the muse.
That's from down to earth.
We fall in love with what the muse produces.
Gives us.
Creates.
You fall in love with the success you get from being with the muse.
What? Or seeing what the muse created. Haven't you ever fallen in love with a painting where that the person in the painting, the subject of the painting is just something that you can't explain how you feel about that? That's never happened.
I am the words guy. I could say that I've fallen in love with characters in books before
there
and
you
stuff
go.
Like that.
Yeah, well, and that's the same thing. And which one was that one? Calypso or...
Calliope.
Calliope. Calliope. It's like the seven dwarfs, but there's nine of them, and they're not short.
And they're hot.
And they're hot. That would be a fun movie. There's got to be a porn.
And on that note...
Oh, well, God.
The other part that kind of I could not explain on this was, what was the whole purpose of doing the Disney animation sequence?
By Don Bluth Studios.
Don Bluth Studios.
Right.
Wonderful. None. There was no...
I mean, from what I read, the whole purpose was they had an extra ELO movie that they had to get into that they had to get into the movie, because I think they were short on the soundtrack. So instead of shooting more scenes, they just said, make a little animated cartoon with the fish and we'll put that into the movie. Because it seemed like it was completely tacked on. But anything that Brian just said would have been more interesting if they took the time to develop and you'd want to watch that than in the middle of this roller disco musical put in an animation scene that didn't make sense. And
I would have bought this movie as a musical if this was entirely animated with Don Bluth. I would have loved this movie.
Except that it looked like Michael Beck, but it didn't look like Olivia Newton-John to me.
No, it was kind of more...
Yeah.
Belle.
Disney Belle. Princess by
or
way of
Ariel
Olivia
or
Newton-John.
Belle or something, yes.
It was Disney Princess.
It was, yes, it was like Disney animation,
Cinderella.
Very close.
That being said...
Well, Don Bluth came from Disney.
What do we rate Xanadu on a B-level scale, boys?
I was going to wait for Brian to go first. This is your favorite movie.
You know, just on Olivia Newton-John, I'm not even counting Gene Kelly yet, which I loved. And the fact that this film could act as a muse for more interesting stories that I think would have been told from it.
It's a lot of hand gestures.
I know.
You're selling this.
No. I'm just talking with my hands like Gene Kelly would do. I'm going to give it 4.5 because of Olivia Newton-John alone and that ending sequence where she dances and sings all those names. She goes cowboy.
Yeah,
she goes
that,
four.
Right?
She goes...
The cowboy... I did enjoy the cowboy outfit. I'm
innocent.
A big fan of Fringe.
I liked that song she was singing, by the by. The one about... I don't even know what it was about now, but it was great. It was about fuck love.
Keith, what do you rate this on a B movie scale?
Fuck love, but having given Smoking a Bandit 3 Bs, right? Is that what I gave it? I gotta give this more.
I'll
go 4 Bs.
Mike, what do you got?
The story was a little bit more.
Let's say if it's one B for being made, one B for Olivia Newton-John, one B for Gene Kelly, one B for 40s music, that's 4. Now, minus 1 for the animation stuff, minus 2 for Michael Beck's bad acting on it. And I think we're down to 1 star after that, right?
Yep.
So,
yep.
1 star movie.
I could not have done the math any better, Mike. I am going to use Mike's equation on this. 1 star. If you want a good Xanadu, Farewell the Kings by Rush. because I had to listen to it twice to get the songs out of my freaking head. That was Xanadu. God, I hated this movie. So for this edition of Sunday Afternoon Kung Fu Theater, we watched 1981's Masked Avengers, which was on the recommendation of Brian. I had never seen this one. This is a later Venom Mob movie. So it is directed by the man responsible for the Venom Mob, Chang Che, and stars a couple of the members of the old school Venom Mob in Philip Kwok and Chin Su Ho. Ugh. And Liu Feng. And then you've got new members Chiang Sheng, Chu Kuo, and Wang Li. And you've got a gang of golden masked, trident wielding evil guys terrorizing the countryside. And you have a kung fu school whose members get whittled down one by one throughout the course of this movie until you get a climactic final battle in an old Buddhist temple. And I had never seen this one, and this was a dark, dark movie for the Shaw Brothers.
When I actually read the description of it, it said it was the darkest of all the Venom films. And so I was expecting it to be a little... I was not expecting it to go as dark as this fucking went.
They were... considering a couple of the gold masks had mustaches on them, I'm surprised they weren't twirling them.
Oh my god! Because
this was evil for evil's sake.
You know, they start off with the killing of the chicken and doing the chicken blood drinking thing, which was exciting to them. And then they were like, "No, this is just chicken blood. This sucks."
And then they got the guy like
trapped in the
golden Buddha.
Yeah, that they fucking. Trident, and he just literally shoots blood 7 feet from his body while they're running with the cops.
Yeah. Drinking blood.
Drinking the blood. And then they take the face off, and he's like, oh, there were 27 of us. And he was like, why didn't you say 28? You weren't counting your brother. And then they bring the brother.
Yeah,
we kill your entire family. You killed the entire family. The entire family, everybody. We catch them all. And then they all throw their tridents at him, and like 9 tridents hit the guy. And it still takes him 4 minutes to die. And then the guy who shot the blood 7 feet is still alive to witness all this. Because God knows if you shoot that much blood out of your body, you're still going to be conscious. On some level.
If your chi is strong.
If your chi is strong, yeah. And then they kill him. And then the fucking rape thing.
Yeah, that was the darkest part. That was the darkest part.
We can rape anybody we want to. We can kill anybody.
Cause the second chief to
quit.
Yeah.
But then they grab her and they bring her in the room, and then all of a sudden the clothes all fly out. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? And then they show her later and she's like insane.
Yeah.
Because of all the abuse that they've heaped upon her.
Yeah.
I was like, this is twisted as fuck. Yeah.
I mean, that's like the only real female in the entire movie that had any screen time, and she's just brutalized.
Oh, yeah, until she's insane.
Yeah.
And then they kill her.
Yeah, they kill her, yeah.
And the amount of blood. I mean, it's like they watch Hammer films and went, we got to duplicate
We got to up our blood count. <Yeah.
laughs> We've only been cooking in cups. We can be putting in gallons.
Shooting out. Bright orangish red blood.
Yeah, and then the deaths that these guys all suffered.
Yeah, when 9 guys skewer the one guy on like the tridents and they're like carrying him around. It was like Jesus Christ, you know.
Yes. And then the last battle, which was fucking great, by the way. I mean, that last battle was.
I love anything when you get a fan involved, when you get the a folding fan involved. I'm a sucker for that. But yeah, the last fight was true Venom Mob, total acrobatics. Everybody knows what the secondary bit guys are all awesome.
Yes, it never stopped. And now, no. When he pulled out the ring, I was like, oh, this is going to get good. Yeah. They brought the ring out. Yeah. They ain't fucking around with this one. They're about to fuck some Joes up when they bring out the ring.
But yeah, there was some brutal, the acid bath.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, like, the three main bosses are protected by like booby, like Indiana Jones booby traps type of thing. They got the arrows, and then they shoot the acid and stuff like that.
And when they gather all the guys together and then flip them into the aerospace so that it all...
Yeah.
I was like, are you fucking brilliant? Way to go, but... Ah! Yeah.
In that chamber, though, earlier they show, like, when he gets down there and there's, like, windows or areas where there's... What was the purpose of that? Just a woman and a guy, a woman and a guy, a woman and a guy.
And they're like they're meditating.
Sex. Yeah.
They were not having sex. They were meditating.
They were having slow Chinese sex. You know how they do the Tai Chi?
What?
Go as slow as you can. They do that with sex, too. They don't talk about it as much because, well, it's taboo and all.
Brian, you are not allowed to have any more sugar. You are just not allowed to have any more sugar. You're talking 40 words a second right now. You're using the hillbilly voice for Kung Fu guys. It's you're off the rails.
Isn't that from the south of China?
I blame you, Mike.
I blame you, Mike.
Blame you, Mike. Keith, you had a slightly less degree of sugar. Would you like to comment on the film, please?
What film? No, just kidding. I thought, like you said, it was really the darker version of anything we've seen. I did like the whole three chiefs and the one chief quitting and going, we'll hunt you down. You don't even know what I look like, idiot. We don't.
And he didn't flip him off or anything.
No.
Because that would have been...
That would have gave it away.
The other one thing I found was a little hard to follow at the beginning was what was the relationship between the family that got killed or that
two
was
families.
Being killed or was two families it, yeah. And the group of people, the group of guys that went to go find the killers. So when I did read Wikipedia on it was like, oh, they hire some
mercenaries.
I never got that they were working for them. I thought that this was like one, part
the,
of their family.
The story in this one was a little dense. It was a little hard to follow. I don't blame you for not being able to follow this, Mike. This one was a little hard to follow story-wise. It wasn't your typical, this school is fighting this school, and we'll have
you
a fight.
You killed my master, and I'm going to get my revenge.
They gave you no background on the mass.
Maybe something, because I'm sure everybody watched it on Amazon, so it was the English dub or whatever. We might have lost something in the translation, maybe.
Yeah, because, it was a good story. It was one of the more interesting stories.
The words would pop up every now and then around people. I'm like, what
the
hell?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a person's name or
Or background. What?
No, there is some backstory
that we were missing, yeah. But, this one was perhaps, dare I say, a little more story-driven, a little less. The fight scenes were very, very short until you got to the end, of course. Very, very short and very, very brutal.
Yes.
So it was like, okay, well, the one guy fights off the three bosses, and then he gets eventually killed.
Yeah.
You know, these guys are standing guard, and they get ambushed, and they get killed. And there's a two-minute fight, and then they, the gang was as good as everybody claimed they were.
Yes.
They were killing everybody.
Yeah. I mean, they open with that.
Oh,
yeah, the first thing you see is like a death from one of the tridents. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
It was rough.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were all quick, brutal fights. There was a lot of people involved, so it was harder to follow.
Yeah, and it was, and they are all kind of, they all have the same hairstyles. They're all dressed similarly. It was kind of hard to, keep track. I mean, it was like literally there had to be 40 people in the cast or whatever.
And you got all the tridents moving at once. You can't tell.
Well, it took me a while to realize that to tell the different bosses apart, it was the color of the mask, right?
Yeah,
so the red, the green. I didn't even think about that till. I kept trying to figure out, like, well, which one is this, or who is this? Oh, it's the color of the hair on the mask. So,
yeah, and then when basically it was just a bunch of, it was basically the Shaw Brothers actually usually do a really good job of, okay, this guy's wearing gray and this guy's wearing red and this guy's wearing blue or whatever, and it was like everybody was wearing
white,
the one guy had black and red, and it was like, okay, well, when they are, well, they're all mixing it up, and these guys are so fast and so athletic and so acrobatic, it was hard keeping track of all these guys.
Yeah, it really was difficult, and And then they usually, even then, they simplify it. Like, they'd call him the red boss, or the green boss, or the blue boss.
Well, they were numbered.
But one, two, and three.
Yeah, you can't tell from watching one, two, and three, yeah.
Yeah, just because you see the red beard, you don't just that go, maybe, oh, that was one. Three.
I'll say, two's a green, one's the old guy, the gray.
I'll say that the actor that played the cook, I like that actor. Yeah. I like the guy playing
He's an original Venomoth.
There was something from the, I don't know if his screen presence, charisma, or whatever, you can kind of tell he was at another level above everybody else, and you could see that when one of the other guys comes up and he pushes him, and the guy just rolls on the ground like a feather rolling across. It wasn't like if I fell down, I'd be down for 3 days, right?
Yeah.
And he just kind of rolls on the ground and gets up, and I'm like, okay, this guy's good. This guy knows this stuff. And every time he was on screen, I loved watching him.
Yeah. And everybody else was, hey, you know, it was like, you know, and of course it was the dub and stuff like that. Like, hey, you know, we got to go find these guys. And he was like the real subtle, kind of
leaping back in the background.
Staying in the background. I'm just the cook.
Yeah.
You know, and granted, the guy who dubbed him or something like that did a good job of dubbing him or whatever. Yes. But there was still that, like you said, that screen presence where he was real subtle. Yes.
And I was looking forward towards seeing him fight more on screen. And obviously he's got the big one at the end. But I think there was a very short fight a little bit after the push where he just really quick did some fight scenes with some guys. And I said, this is the guy I want to see more of. But you don't get to see anything until the end of the movie.
Yeah, this wasn't the typical building fight scenes where it starts off kind of slow and then it builds to the big fight with the big boss at the end or whatever. This was a bunch of really quick, brutal ones, and then they have the 15-20 minute one at the end, which was
exhausting.
Which was like, you know, when I say breathtaking, I was out of breath after that one.
Yeah, it was just nonstop.
And the speed that they're moving, the things that they're doing, you know, let's say, obviously, they're not real tridents, but there's some weight to those things. You're moving.
There's
20 of them flying around at the same time. Yeah, I thought, you know, just watching that was fantastic. But
it's like a dance, the ballet. Yeah. It's amazing to watch these guys move.
I did like Shaw Brothers. Yeah, so. I did like the whole, you know, the boss level stuff where you get the third boss and he comes down on the pillar.
Yeah.
And you're at that one. Okay, you vanquish. Yeah. Well, that's one of the bad ones. You can't have the way gravity works. You can't just throw up all the tridents at different times. And they're spinning at the top, and then they all come down at the same time.
Yeah.
But
you can when you have magic tridents.
Yeah. Yeah. But I did like that whole, here's the second guy that comes down. Here's the number one boss that comes down. Their numbers getting smaller and smaller and smaller. Yeah. I like that. I thought that was a good action scene.
And how they finally killed him was. And then it ends.
All the movies end. They just walk off. It's just over. It's like, bad guy's dead, we're out.
Yeah, it's like we're out of film. Yeah. Cut. Yeah. It's done. Yeah.
There's no
follow-up or anything. There's a certain economy to Shaw Brothers, the end of Shaw Brothers movies, where it's, oh, well, we killed the guy, so we're done.
There's nothing more to talk about.
Yeah. I think those guys are so exhausted by that.
Yeah, but you've done that 20-minute fucking fight scene where we're exhausted, and then you don't get any cooldown. You know, just give me a scene where they fucking,
they're dusting off their hands, and they're like, let's get out.
Where they go out to town, and everyone praises them.
Yeah, they even walk into the sunset. Yeah.
Yeah, we did what we came here to do, let's go.
And they all end like that.
Job done. Yeah.
Exactly. It's like a blink, you miss it, and all of a sudden the credits are up. What?
All right, so what do we think out of 5 Deadly Venom scale of Masked Avengers, boys?
You know, it's a tough one, and it really is.
It is.
Because it really was good. It's one of the better stories. Super complicated. But I think the darkness just hurt it.
Yeah.
As far as being a Shaw Brothers film. I mean, you know what? In the King Kong one, I mean, they had that rapey scene that was uncomfortable. But there was a lot of uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yes. It didn't have the lightheartedness of the crippled Avengers, even though that had darkness too, but it was like more lightheartedness between the main characters.
Yes.
There was none of that.
Yeah.
It was like all dead serious.
Yeah. Know. And then they were all dead.
Yeah. And serious.
Seriously dead. You know what? I'm still going to give it a 4.
Okay.
Would I recommend this one? If you're into the Deadly Venoms, you're gonna have to watch this.
Watch it last.
Yeah, but I would say watch it last or watch it near the end so that you could still have one or two that make you smile.
Cleanse your palate.
Yeah.
But Keith, what do you say?
I'm gonna go 4.5. The fight scenes were really good. Like I said, it was very dark. It was unusual for a Shaw Brothers thing, but I thought the acting, whatever acting you want to call it, was done well. And I didn't even figure out till he came out and said that the number two chief was the cook. I knew he was someone, but
Mike, what do you think?
Like Brian said, this is a hard one because the beginning it's hard to follow. It's trying to figure out who's who and what's going on. But the fight scene at the end was just fantastic. I like the cook, so I have to go a little bit lower than Brian and Keith. I'll go 3.
You know what? I'm gonna go
3 and 26.
No,
22.
I think I'm gonna go 22. With Mike on this one. This one was for a Shaw Brothers movie. It's a little hard to digest. The complexity of the story was a little bit much. There wasn't I like my formulas when it comes to this. There wasn't a lot of like fights leading up to that. Like it's almost like I was overwhelmed by the last fight and I was underwhelmed by everything leading up to that. So it was sort of like kind of all over the place. I'm gonna say 3 Deadly Venoms. Huh. Wow. This one was a dark one, not the easiest one to get through. Like Brian said, maybe check out a couple of the others and then leave this one for last and then have a palate cleanser afterwards. But that was Masked Avengers. Your mileage may vary.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
All right, so we've been following along with the latest DC offering on the CW, and that is Stargirl. And we have just watched episode 7 of the Frenemy Saga entitled Infinity Incorporated Part 1. So you get, in backstory, Jade gets the Green Lantern ring, or Jenny, I should say, gets the Green Lantern ring, and they show many miles away her brother has broken into a restaurant with his boyfriend, and as she puts on the ring and is imbued with Green Lantern energy, he gets imbued with Dark Force energy, or something.
But his eyes turn green.
Yes, his eyes turn green. He is brought by the police to the Helix Institutes, and yes, we get our big dose of Mr. Bones and Nurse Love, and the return of the Shade as the Dark Force is being influenced by Green Lantern energy, and Green Lantern energy is getting, or the Shadow Realm or whatever, is getting influenced by Green Lantern energy. So the Shade and Jenny Hayden have made kind of an unlikely alliance, and they figure out that Todd Rice is at the crux of it, and we get Obsidian in this, essentially. And I kind of figured that they would link him into the Shade since their powers are so similar or whatever. What else did we get? We got our man in the... Well, we had Operation Blackout Bomb, which put a smile on my face. Dr. Midnight shuts down the power grid at Blue Valley. They find all the hidden cameras and destroy them. And you get the impression that Rick Tyler is being a dick because the...
Miracle Rage.
Yeah, Miraculo Rage. So we saw this coming. That's why there's a limiter on this. We have Yolanda getting kicked out of her house for trying to stand up to her mother.
Well, she did stand up to her.
She did stand up to her mother.
Keeping secrets.
And
she doesn't trust her after all that she did. She merely showed her breast to the entire town. Many people still have the photo.
She didn't show it.
She didn't. She did it to one person who did the revenge porn type thing.
That still
and
counts.
Cindy was behind.
If you're going to put your breasts on the internet, you're going to show them to the whole town.
The whole world.
Yeah. That's it.
Okay. And what else happened?
Mike and Jakeem.
Wish all the cameras.
That was kind of funny. Zeke, there's something to Zeke.
There is.
He's a wise man.
He's wise beyond his hillbilliness, and his dad was somebody.
You think?
He said something like, my dad was...
Dr. Fate.
Oh, he was into magic.
Yes, at the very end, you find out that the Helix Institute is trying to treat Obsidian. They think they are torturing him. They break down the machine that's treating him, and he explodes and drags pretty much at least Stripesy and Shade into the Shadowlands. So we get another one of these episodes. And I wasn't crazy about the first one from last season, so I'm not really looking forward to the next one.
Okay, so we have Obsidian.
Optimism over there.
It's going to be cool. There's got to be a reason why the darkness joined the ring. I think that...
I was pleasantly surprised that they put in a story cue that I completely forgot about from last season, and they used that to further the story. So that shows you that, like, James Robinson's writing this because he did that all the time in, like, Starman or whatever, so...
And the Shade is more like the Shade in the comic, where he's not a good guy or bad guy. He's a guy who just does what he wants to do.
Whatever happens to Blue Valley, I no longer care. I just...
Yeah. Great. Yeah. Where he's whining about Jade and they're like a married couple. And I thought that was funny. That actor is perfect.
I agree.
Abso-fucking-lutely perfect. I don't know about the Helix Institute yet. I don't know if they were treating him.
I don't think so either. I mean, if you go back to the comics and Infinity Inc. that run, Helix became Infinity Inc.'s nemesis, their arch enemy. So... I don't think they were doing that to treat him. I think they're trying to control the darkness and maybe trying to...
I think they're trying to gain control of his powers.
Yeah, or the darkness.
Or figure out how to duplicate his powers.
Yeah.
And I think they told him that if they don't let him do this, he would destroy the world.
Okay.
But yes, I also think he would destroy the world.
Okay.
I mean, I've been waiting for this episode... for 7 episodes because we finally got to see Mr. Bones. I wasn't too impressed when we finally did see him, what the characteristics of his face looks like. I know it's supposed to be translucent skin, but it looks kind of milky.
It looks like they took the head of the bowling ball from Mystery Men and put it on
his body. Yeah, you know, because in the comics it's just drawn as a skull. So I was kind of expecting that, and... like you said, it's a little bit too much like he's in a bowling ball, or I wasn't too impressed with that. I know the voice. I know the character, the actor that does the voice.
The wonderful Keith David.
Yeah, I thought that was a good matchup for that character. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I want to see where it goes. I'm hesitant because a lot of it has been so slow to develop. So I want to kind of see, are they going to have the arch villains? Are we going to see some of the other enemies? Are we going to see the rest of Infinity Inc.? Where's Fury, you know, Sandman, all these other ones? So
way too hopeful.
Yeah.
I know. Because that requires casting, which is money. I think I'm going
to get Opal City before we see the rest of Infinity Incorporated.
We're going to see some.
Think so?
Yeah, because they have a school for gifted youngsters. Where did I hear that before?
I said that last week.
No, he's talking Xavier.
And that's where I took it from. Was okay, whatever.
Last week I got that.
Yeah.
What I will say is that
you listen, that's good.
Subconsciously.
Yeah. Talk.
I will say that Marvel could use some cues on writing superhero shit from the CW stories. They don't have to get all angsty, but there's a lot of angst in Marvel movies anyway. But it keeps moving and it keeps you moving. There's enough going on that you're interested the whole time.
I agree. That's kind of why I've been, I go back in and watch it again. And, you know, I'm worried it's got that CW vibe where it's the third or fourth season. It always starts to go downhill.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking this is at that tipping point. It's either the rest are going to be pretty good and develop characters that you haven't seen, or they're just going to go on the cheap side and, you know, try to fill out the season, and it's going to be crap. So I'm hanging in there to see where it's going to go, but some surprises. Like I said, I was happy finally to see Mr. Bones, but, you know, the other thing was when Jenny puts the ring on, didn't originally in the comics she was imbued with the powers?
Yes. Yeah. She had a birthmark on her hand or whatever.
So I didn't kind of get... And even last season, she really wasn't using the ring.
She was barely in it.
But now all of a sudden, she uses the ring and she can use the powers. I don't kind of understand.
Didn't they establish last season that they had the lantern and it was broken?
It was broken, correct.
And like they imbued the power of the lantern into her or something like that. Right. They pretty much implied that she's Jade, essentially.
Yeah.
Well, I think they're going to basically because you can't control it right now. So so the ring is a conduit to control the energy. I think they're going to be, someone's got to come. Maybe it'll be the Shade to tell Jen, listen, the ring's just a ring. It's not the power. The power is inside of you. You don't need the ring. It's just helping you focus.
That's going to be a Stargirl speech if I've ever heard one.
Yes. Yeah. That's going to be beautiful, and it will be the end, because she will lose the ring, and she will think, I don't have my power. And she'll say, no, Jade, you are the power. You are the magic girl.
You're not the guy with hammers. You're the, oh, sorry.
Yeah, you're not. You're you. It's you. It's in your heart. You got to focus your love, Jade. Your love. Focus it. Shoot your love.
Okay. I tried.
You did not try. You brought in extra sugar for these guys, and now they're all hyper.
That you just nailed the ending. That is going to be the fucking ending. And probably how she gets Stripesy, and I love how he calls him Stripesy. That is the funniest shit to me.
It's the most Stripesy.
Yeah.
Yes.
The most British condescending
Stripesy.
And I do love the running tea joke, which I think is just funny. But because again, British, they drink tea. That's why it's so funny.
No.
There's a lot of good jokes, or I don't know if you want to call them Easter eggs or inside humor references, but there is a lot, like the T one, the Stripesy one. Zeke, speaking of Zeke, if his father's in magic, is that Zatara? Is that linked to Zatanna Zatara somehow?
That's an easy
Dr. Fate.
You're thinking Dr. Fate?
Yeah. So this garage mechanic is going to get the helmet of Nabu, or is he?
Who would be wiser to have it?
Well, I mean, in the first season, it was Dr. Fate was on there.
Pick up women.
The one thing I think that is going to come out of this is Jakeem is going to master. He's kind of told him, like, you have to wish and wish for it with all your heart. You can't just half-ass it. So I think Jakeem is going to have better control over the Thunderbolt, and it's going to be less comedy and more... you have to be careful with that, because that's like a... You know, that you could kill every single storyline by having a genie around.
Right.
But I think something's going to happen where he's going to have a little bit more mastery of the power of the genie and not be so much comic relief.
Is Zeke related to Johnny Thunder?
I would say no.
Zatara would be the guess.
But that's so out of left field for this. I don't see them.
I don't know that Zatara had...
A son?
A redneck brother. Redneck son. Now, I don't know that you had Zatanna.
Well, it could be a guy's.
The super hot Greek girl.
Well, they just, just axed the DC Zatanna movie on HBO, so maybe now they can use the character on Stargirl. Yeah. They axed it. I saw it yesterday or the day before they killed it. The new Honcho Discovery.
Oh, yeah, they're killing everything. That's too bad. But I thought comic books movies had kind of reached an end. Especially for Warner Brothers, who doesn't put them out.
Yeah, they keep on having to push them back and recast them. And...
All right, so we still enjoying this one, boys?
Heck yeah!
Yeah, I'm still
enjoying it. I like this episode a lot better than the last few. So.
Yes.
Because it was less CWE.
Yes, less angst. Less teenage angst.
Well, they get to the point in the season where they realize, okay, we've done enough angsty teenage stuff that we have to do some superhero stuff, or we're going to lose the superhero people. And I think we're hitting that portion of the season right now.
Well, I think they threw the Infinity Inc. right in there at the perfect time.
Yes.
Because all of us were like, oh, okay.
Do something.
We'll see where they go with it. That's my...
We just want to see. They've done Men with Wings, so they could do Skybird Guy.
Northwind?
Yeah, him.
Skybird Guy.
Yeah, they could do him. And Adam Smasher, didn't they do something like that?
Well, he was just in
Legend of Tomorrow.
No, he Black was Adam. Just he's in Black, Black Adam. Adam.
Nuclon,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Nuclon's the original guy. Adam Smasher's the new guy.
Is a different persona, yeah. Same guy, different persona, yeah.
Yeah.
Same All guy, right. Different boots. Stick with us on this one.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
All right, so we've been following along with the latest Star Wars offering on the Disney app, and that, of course, is Andor, and we just watched Episode 7, which was entitled The Announcement. And, Brian, you had postulated last week that this was the start of the Greater Rebellion, and I think it is.
It is.
So, yes, you've got the news of this heist going across the galaxy. The Emperor gives the ISB unprecedented powers to surveil and, you know, basically the Patriot Act from the gist of what, yes, I was getting out of it. You've got Andor going back to Ferrix to talk to his adoptive mother, who is wholeheartedly joining the rebellion. You've got more of his backstory, where his adoptive father was apparently hung in the square, which was, like, to me, was a very Revolutionary War. That was the snowball fight in Boston Commons or whatever. And you've got some more machinations by the ISB, as far as, I mean, that's the stuff I've been really digging, is the one cat's like, you know, you're overstepping your reach or whatever. And she's like, I use the temporary, you know, order to investigate all naval things, and I think this is a pattern and all this kind of stuff. So that was kind of cool. But yeah, another one that kind of goes to a story driver as opposed to action type stuff. Except, there's apparently Miami Beach somewhere in a galaxy far, far away.
Yeah.
Because Andor goes to hide out there, and we get our first whiff of where he may get K2SO from. Because, yes, they apparently are brute droids on the brute squad or whatever, which I thought was kind of cool.
Yes. I thought we were going to get him there. And no.
I literally started cheering when I saw him, so.
Until he started strangling him.
Oh, yeah, and then, yeah, he gets thrown in the stinger at the end as he is breathing hard and is accused of participating in some sort of rebel terrorist act and gets 6 years in prison, like they were giving away candy.
Yeah.
As they say in, yep, Goodfellas.
We're walking around looking at things.
Yeah.
Yep. Trying to get somewhere.
Yes. Yes.
So what do we think of this episode, fellas?
I'm beginning to like this more and more.
Okay.
I am. This is like, this is Kenobi in it for me.
Really, you're thinking this is getting Kenobi good?
I'm not saying that.
Okay.
What? Because it's never going to happen, but okay.
But it's building nicely. And for me, it's really become kind of, you're seeing the reality of the myth.
Yes. Yes, that's actually an excellent way to put it.
So you get to see before history. Did he play a part in the rebellion? Yeah. Did he want to? Yeah, no. He kind of tripped and kept falling into the rebellion, yeah, is what happened.
Yeah.
Mon Mothma, or Mothra, or whatever her name is.
I think you're crossing genres.
Mothra Mom.
Mothra Mom, yeah. Anthropod. I like her character.
I'm starting to really like her character. She's starting to become like George Washington or something. You know what I'm saying? Like some important figure behind the scenes in history that actually is kind of spearheading the rebellion and financing it. And there's more to her than obviously meets the eye.
And she's just got a shitty life. She's got a husband that she doesn't like, her a daughter that doesn't like her. She's just not having fun with it. Again, you get to see the reality of the myth, you know, and it makes me wonder, when you say George Washington, you know, what we know about George Washington, yeah, what was he really like, you, yeah, know? And what was Martha? Martha was probably a pain in his ass every day. Henpecked him. I bet a lot.
You leave your teeth around everywhere. Everywhere.
Exactly. I'm getting splinters. You need help.
I need help. I need professional help.
Yeah, so I'm really starting to like this one. I'm really, it's gotten kind of fun.
Well, I liked the chess game that was going on with when Skeleton Skarsgård explains, like, they're going to overstep, and this is what we need.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
So they're making the Empire even more of the monsters that we know them to be, so that's going to make more people oppressed, and more people are going to rise up against them. Yeah.
Yes, where there is oppression, there is always rebellion.
or where there is rebellion, there is always oppression. Either way, it's true.
Thanks.
It's all like, right, Mike, have you been following along with the series?
I have. And, you know, except for episode 3 and episode 6, even advice that you gave me a couple weeks ago.
Turn off your brain.
This has been one of the slowest, most boring shows on TV right now.
And boring. Wow. I'm telling you.
Keith, I heard your dad joke three weeks
you're
in a row.
Hear it every week until it gets better. I like Mon Mothma. I like Skarsgård's character. The title character, I don't give a shit about.
Well, I think
it's like this whole leading up to rebellion. It's like I don't want to watch. I don't want to watch Henry Jones Jr. go to take classes to become a great anthropologist.
They're just basically trying to explain his character in Rogue One as to how did he get there in the first place, or how this leads up to Rogue One.
I don't care.
But I know, but that's exactly it. He's not even, at this point, he's not a nice enough guy that you even want to care about what he does. And I think, especially for Disney, if they want to go the rebellion, you know, show the behind the scenes of what happens when you're being oppressed and they want to do that, that needs to be like at another adult level. I don't think that's something you can show on TV on a Disney show. And it makes it kind of boring. Like, you know, what am I trying to say here? If they're trying to show the reality of oppression and putting people and jailing them up and mistreatment, then it needs to be like an R-rated Disney
show.
The
Empire was supposed to be like the Nazis, right?
Right.
These are not Nazis.
Exactly. Exactly.
Allow them to grow.
Yet.
But, no, they are Nazis now. I am going to say
you're
that.
Gonna go,
they are,
you're going
to...
You,
yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. They are Nazis now. They are destroying and killing but planet to planet.
But,
and that's what we're seeing.
Yeah, but, well, to some degree, I mean, when you got the guy who's the stormtrooper is out there and he tells, you know, keeps going after Andor at the end, which is, you know, grab him, you're detained, why are you sweating, you're trying to talk, why are you getting so agitated? I mean, that's kind of more...
That's suburban cop.
Well, I think it was a little bit more than suburban cop, but yeah, I can see that.
Okay,
Chicago
much
cop.
More.
Chicago
yeah,
cop,
Chicago,
yeah.
Chicago cop, yeah.
Well, I don't think, well, yeah,
Jack
you're right.
Booted thugs.
Have your android or your partner raise them up and start choking them out, but.
Guilty to proven innocent.
Yeah.
That didn't make sense to me anyway. He's got all this money. He says, we can go anywhere in the galaxy, right? They're going to get away from the Empire. Why would you go to the Miami Beach of Star Wars where the Empire is? You can't go far enough away?
Because you can't go anywhere where the Empire is not.
I think that's what they were trying to imply. Is that
unless you go to the Outer Rim.
There was a safe planet 8 parsecs away, according to the guy he shot.
But it doesn't mean that there's a beach.
Yeah,
Do you have to have a beach?
It could just be a shithole.
That's what he said. He said there was a moon with an uninhabited moon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tatooine is outside of the Empire, I think. I mean, they have the Empire on there, but I think it was outside of, or it was on the Outer Rim. If you go farther than Tatooine, and who the fuck wants to go hang out at Tatooine? Yeah, it's Miami Beach without the water.
It's more like Las Vegas without all the fun.
Yeah, Las Vegas without the Bellagio.
Oh.
Without Cirque du Soleil.
And
Penn and Teller. Fool Me, which is now on the CW. Anyway.
Teller just had bypass surgery.
Did he?
Yeah, last week.
Do you ever watch Fool Us?
Yes.
No.
Oh, it's fucking great. Yeah. I love Magic. But that's a great show.
Much better than Andor.
Yes, exactly.
Well, it's more exciting, and it's got Willow from Buffy. But I'm just going to say that you got the bureaucracy of the Nazis.
Yes.
Nazocracy.
Clever.
You're creating no, words.
And I think that that's probably what it was really like. I mean, if you watch the Nazi machine working, that's what it was really like. It was all politics and bureaucracy.
Well, no, and that's why one of the interesting things is like she basically says, I have this report that proves my theory. I will show it to you. And he goes, good, walk with me. And he goes, watch your back.
Yes. Well played. Watch your back. So, yeah, you know what? I'm going to agree that it's one of the slowest. Obi-Wan started out so god-awful slow. It made sense once it got exciting. I don't know if that's kind of the right way to write. Is please stay with us until we get exciting, and then,
And they admitted that the whole series is a slow burn. They admitted that we're going to try to show the build up to what happens with Rogue One, and I understand why they want to do that. But at some point, it's still a 50-minute episode of television that, you know, again, going back to the one episode you warned me about, don't watch it when you're tired or having a full stomach because you'll fall asleep. Yep. I mean, I don't think that makes for the best television. It might work in a movie if they want to do it where you can kind of have ebbs and flows in it.
If they condensed it,
yeah. Right. But, I mean, I think in one of the episodes, I think when the TIE fighter screamed over the valley they were, that was the only special effects they used in the whole episode. It was just drawn out. And this one, I kind of think after the big heist scene, which I liked the action in that, I think they said, okay, it's kind of like the CW. We spent our money on this episode, yeah. So now we get to have a bunch
Supergirl
of two episodes.
Flew in this one, so we can't do anything.
Yeah, so the next two episodes go real easy on the special effects, you know, have make the sound off screen for a blast here, but don't show the explosion.
And we'll call it character driven.
Yes.
As the Marvel writers have pointed out to us many times, and I think the Star Wars writers will agree, we have forgotten how to watch television, and we need to relearn that if we are going to enjoy these. Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you and your pretentious little asses, okay? Shove that in your ass. How about
worth watching?
You've forgotten how to be entertaining.
Yeah. Exactly.
You've forgotten that you're not that important. That you need to entertain the masses.
Well, I think a lot of it, too, is, like I said, I think they're given a budget. You have X amount of dollars set around for the show. You can kind of know that, okay, the finale is going to cost this much. The end of the first three episodes is going to cost this much. And you got your middle one to keep people in line. So all the money is going to go to those three episodes, and everything else, we got to spread out the wealth.
Yeah, I think it's just way too many episodes. They've drawn out this story way too long.
This is 12 episodes, right?
It's going to feel like 40, but yeah, probably 12.
Yeah, but it should be 9.
It should be 7.
12 episodes.
Could have been one movie. Yeah.
Exactly.
Could have been a 2-hour movie.
Yeah. That would have been
They
better.
Should have done it as a special, just a 2-hour Disney Plus special. You'd watch a 2.5-hour if you want to.
Yeah, these episodes are as long as Werewolf by Night was, and which was way better.
Oh.
Which would you go back and watch?
Easily, yeah. Andor, third episode.
Of course you would.
Because I want to learn. I want to re-remember.
You want to know what
it's like to watch television in my youth.
You had 5 channels to pick from, so you didn't have a choice. Now you have other choices. Don't make it boring.
We had parents, which meant we only had 3 channels to pick from at any given night, because my mom was not watching 32 or 41.
I bought my own TV and put it in my
room. Oh, well, we watched the family TV. And secondly,
not everybody had a paper route, Keith.
Yeah. I was good at it.
And it was black and white.
Gave us jiggly boobs. At least gave us jiggly boobs.
Well, you have to watch them between the lines on 44.
Well, that was the purple
Spectrovision.
Nipples. Yeah, that was the purple nipples.
They were only on the left side.
No, they gave Charlie's Angels, many of the women of the 70s, Battle of the Network Stars.
Yeah.
All of those you got jiggly bits.
I mean, again, I
that's what's missing out of Andor.
That's what's missing with these jiggly bits.
He had the girl in the bed. And I'm thinking, is this the point in Star Wars where we're going to at least see side boob? And he didn't even get that far.
Oh, we didn't even see any SW side boob. SWSB. you know, and you'd think, but Vader.
Whoop.
A little bit of that Padme action. Whoop.
Are you okay, Lance? You look like you might have had a stroke by now.
I was expecting more out of you.
You know...
But I guess because you're in front of all these famous podcasters, you feel like you gotta hold up the bargain. I was gonna go into a really well thought out diatribe of how they're trying to do Game of Thrones
with Star Wars.
There are boobs in Game of Thrones, though.
Right.
But I would just break into all this comedy gold, so I don't want to bore our audience.
There was full frontal.
So we've got a split decision with our panel here. We've got Keith and Mike saying it's boring. We've got Brian and I saying we're kind of into the political intrigue behind it.
I'm way into that, and I really like it. And I like they've got four stories going on here that are pretty interesting. You got Mon Mothma, you've got the ISB, you've got Andor, the actual story.
Get rid of that guy.
But you've also got the rebellion story now, where they're going to kill him. They want to kill him.
Yeah.
Because he's
it took me 2 minutes to realize this was the blonde gal was the same gal that he was on the planet with.
Yes, they whored her up, didn't they?
They put her in makeup, and I was like, "Is this the same woman?"
Yeah.
I'm like, "Oh, okay."
They whored her up.
I didn't recognize the girl she met. Stellan Skarsgård.
That was his
wife,
secretary.
Yeah, and she let her hair down. I was like, I didn't recognize who that was.
There's only a couple more episodes. Well, actually, there's more than a couple episodes.
There's five more episodes.
We're
barely half.
Your mileage may vary.
The Three Old Geeks are now on YouTube. Check us out there, and don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. If you can't find us, stop by our Facebook page to get a link. And while you're there, drop us a line and let us know what you think of the podcast. Tune in next week, same geek time, on all your favorite apps for all new, all different material. Thanks a lot for listening, and hey, keep on geeking on.